Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two, Sports Talk Saturday, moving on in. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Chris Giacobello on the board here today for us. And vibes could not be worse. I kid, because this show is all about vibes. Depending on how you, but depending on who you are, like I can
could
look
be
over
in the toilet.
I could be looking over here at Joe Kelly and his fandom of the Sabres losing their first game of the year, the Bills having lost after playing poorly over the course of three games.
Their first game of the year, too.
They lost their first of the year, though. And then also the Yankees. Their season's over. Big ups for me over here.
Yeah.
With a team in the championship series. Who's got one of those? I do.
It's a shame. It's a real shame.
I do.
You know, when asked if he would be managing the team next year, manager Aaron Boone says, I'm under contract. I don't really know what that means.
I have no idea if I'm going to be fired or not. That's what that sentence says to me.
Yeah, and it's, you know, he's been there since 2018. They had an abysmal collapse last season to end their postseason run. This year, you bounce back. It took till, you know, you won at least one game in there, but you end up nearly getting swept, and it just doesn't look good. Yeah, Aaron Judge is the standout for sure. Like, he had a good game.
I'm glad he had the postseason that he did, though, because a lot of the knock on him has been
his postseason.
Why don't you get it done in the postseason? And he was fantastic.
It was him and everybody else. It was him and the Little League World Series team. That's pretty much what it seemed like.
Chisholm stepped up in a big moment.
Chisholm
though,
had
too.
A couple big moments. Absolutely. It was just.
I look at Stanton.
Yeah. His weird alien swing where he doesn't move his hips at all. He's all upper body. Mm-hmm. He's so inconsistent. It's almost like the Sabres, consistently inconsistent, where he'll have a stretch of games where he's just hammering home runs.
Raking
him in. But in the big moments like this, you do look at him and you're like, you're not getting anything done for us here. Last postseason, he was. He was hitting home runs last postseason. That's a big reason why they went as far as they did. This year, very much the opposite. He was very quiet.
Right.
Very quiet.
Very quiet. And, I mean, the first thing I think of in that postseason with them this past year is Chapman has a bases loaded, no outs, and you get nothing out of Stanton, and it starts the closeout of ultimately a series they would win. But
now that was a precursor to what would be expected.
But it led to
round.
You the next morning saying,
I call him a poverty franchise.
What do you call them, poverty franchise?
If the bases are loaded... If the bases are loaded and you can't score with no outs, you can't even get one run in, I'm sorry, that's the definition of that. Like, well, that really is.
They did win that series, but ultimately they fall to the Blue Jays 3-1. I've got to say, the way the bullpen looked in that game three against the Yankees, though, having Varland, the guy who Judge hits the three-run homer to tie the game, be the starting pitcher for that next game, is a bold beyond bold kind of statement.
Very much so.
But it also showed us something in the series that we had yet to see. Tight defensively for both teams. Nobody really breaking through. And then the Jays continuing to hit to contact to a point where even now Vlad Guerrero Jr., who when he was coming in, it was, okay, this guy's just going to hit bombs. He's raking. He's one of their best contact hitters.
Right.
In addition to absolutely blowing up the Yankees in particular. Personal vendettas. And then there's Vlad Jr. with the Yankees. But he was great. He was incredible for them. A team that did not have Bo Bichette. They didn't have Kevin Gausman in their starting pitcher rotation. We'll see what we get when it comes to the ALCS lineup for the Jays and Mariners. But tonight, we've got one more. Cubs against the Brew Crew in Game 7, 8 o'clock tonight. I'm going to be watching that one. I'm the most casual of casual baseball fans in the regular season, but once postseason baseball comes in, it is a majesty in sports that I cannot look away from.
Yeah, people gravitate towards it, and that's, I guess, what I've discovered too, is I do follow the Yankees throughout the season, and I have them on maybe as a secondary option, right? Just kind of in the background of stuff I'm doing. But now it's like they're must-watch. I attribute it to, in football, every down is meaningful, right?
Right.
Every pass, every run is meaningful. In a 162-game season, every at-bat is not meaningful. You know,
right.
Like these series, one game isn't meaningful necessarily, right? Like this season, the AL East was awesome because of how competitive it was.
It was like, incredible.
That was incredible. It's normally Red Sox and Yankees, right? Like that's it.
That's just it. And trust me, brother, do I know that.
Yeah.
The career of Roy Halladay was almost entirely thwarted before he goes to Philadelphia.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily the Jays. It was just that it was those Yankees and Red Sox teams.
Mm-hmm.
They were in his way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And now this year, it's totally flipped on its head. The Blue Jays are at the top, and you have other teams even making it interesting. I watched a little bit more of the regular season than I normally would, but as soon as the playoffs went on, every at-bat matters. Every at-bat, every pitch, every out is meaningful. That's it. Just because it is do or die. Like that's what it is.
The first two series where it's
three games
and five games.
Yeah,
even five games.
Five games is short. Five games is short.
You make one mess up on it. Ready? You have a colossal dumpster fire of a game two in the first half of it, and through five innings, you've got 11 strikeouts against you
mm-hmm.
and 11 runs scored against you.
Yeah,
like the Yankees in game two, that five innings was hell itself.
Yep. It was bad.
But then the bullpen, not reliable. The Yankees score seven runs in that game. Ultimately, it's 13-7, but that happens. And then the bullpen does ultimately lose the game for the Jays in game three. And now you're like, okay, we got a bullpen game in game four. Hold on to your butts. Because then you might be able to get it back to Toronto and see who you're working with here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's there, like I've said, it is kind of just there's something romantic about playoff baseball. And I think this does show that America's pastime still does reign supreme in the big moments, right?
I'm happy for that. I really am.
I did find myself and my other friends, like we were watching Thursday Night Football or whatever on the same, they were doubled up on the same day, same night. We would rather have watched the baseball games. And yes, partially because the Yankees were involved for me, right? But I am not going to stop watching the rest of these series to see who the World Series champion is. So,
right,
I'm very excited about it. This is really awesome. Can't really complain about any of it aside from my team being out of it. But
right.
At least they were in it, unlike the Mets.
By the way, I said Gausman. Gausman was the starter.
Yes.
for Game One.
Gausman was.
Yeah, it was. I think it's Bassett, the one that they're looking to get back.
I believe so.
And but then you get the emergence of Yusevich, who Pat Malcaro a week ago
was talking about,
points him out.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid has a game to remember. 11 Ks in five innings. Sick. Nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Gausman is dominant. Now you have a chance to get Bassett back. You have a chance to get Bichette back. Is it going to be enough against the Mariners? And now, though, you have a storybook on one side of this. you have a team that's never been to the World Series in the Seattle Mariners. And you have a team that has not been to the World Series since 1993 in the Toronto Blue Jays. And what's that over there? Oh, it's the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Derek.
The team that has a GDP higher than like most countries.
Pretty much. And Ohtani's been lights out.
I'm not annoyed by this at all. Like, I love Shohei Ohtani and what he does for baseball. It's just obnoxious the amount of money that that team spends.
They have a lot to spend. They have a lot to spend.
And it kind of shows the gross disparity between the teams that have the money and have not. It used to be the Yankees would wear that crown.
The George Steinbrenner Yankees.
The George Steinbrenner Yankees would spend the money.
Yep.
And they would win with it. Now the Dodgers have taken that mantle, though.
Yep. And they win.
And they win. But it's all of a sudden they're winning. They used to be amongst the biggest playoff choke artists that we've seen.
Yeah.
Playoff Kershaw, must I remind anybody? But I'm just hoping for anybody but the Dodgers at this point. Of course, I want the Jays first and foremost. But the Dodgers annoy me to a point where, like, they kind of malaise their way through the end of the season.
Yeah, they knew they were going to be able to make a deep run. They had no question about that, you know?
And now they've lost all of one game so far.
Yeah. They're hot, as hot could be.
And the Cubs and the Brewers, can I trust one of them to actually shut down LA? And I don't know if I've got a confident answer in that. But then, depending on who wins tonight, there's a team with a rich history there with the Cubs. But just because they have rich history doesn't mean they have a truly successful one. And then there's the Brewers. Correct me if I'm wrong, but has Milwaukee made a World Series in their lifetime?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I don't know. I hear you clicking over there. We're going to see.
They've never won a World Series. They only appeared once in 1982.
Yeah.
But that was as an AL pennant.
Right. Right.
They would lose to what would become their division rivals in the Cardinals.
Rivals.
So they've never won an NL pennant.
Now seems like the time, right? I guess.
Now would seem like a cool time to do it.
I would like to see the Blue Jays
win,
though.
But first of all, you got to get past the Cubs. And then you got to get past the Dodgers in order to win that NL pennant. They have a lot of work to do here. But yes, the Jays, since 93, the last time that they made the World Series, they won it. And then there's the Mariners. A franchise that, for so long, looks like the team that God forgot.
That's for sure.
And they have one of the greatest regular seasons of all time get punched out by the Yankees. Not even close. Smoked. Swept. A truly unfortunate thing to see. But yeah, the Brewers would also be another one of these teams. We could have half of the teams in the CS that have never won it, in the Mariners and the Brewers.
I would like to see that. I think that, you know, I would be rooting for the Blue Jays at this point just because they are the AAA affiliate does play in Buffalo, right? So like that's kind of a rooting interest there just for the whole shebang of it all.
Right.
But I would like to see a team that, you know, realistically, having multiple professional organizations, except a lacrosse team, who have never won the big game, right, at the end, never won the big series at the end. Seeing a team do that for the first time, there is something sympathetic about that and also awesome to watch. So I wouldn't mind if, like, Milwaukee makes a run. Oh, the Brewers. You know that fan base is passionate. That's Wisconsin right there.
And again, anyone but L.A.
But the Dodgers, yeah.
Because even the Cubs, they have the win in 2016, but they also went 100 years without winning one. And, of course, like, there's the Steve Bartman. There's so much to the Cubs, though, that, like, it's pain incarnate.
Right. I remember when the Cubs broke their drought. That was electric.
It's an awesome sight.
It was 100 years, wasn't it? Something
100
like that.
Years.
Yeah, 100 years. That was, I remember in
1907 to 2016.
Yeah. That was the talk when I was in high school or middle school. I don't even know. Yeah, I was my freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
That was all everybody was talking about was, oh my God, the Cubs did it. They finally did it again.
I also wanted to talk a little bit of baseball just to get my mind off of the fury that the Sabres unleashed on me after one night of hockey.
Mm.
And now the subsequent injury problem that they might have with their roster.
Yeah, it's not looking good for the short term right now.
It's not looking good for the short term.
We got to wait it out.
But we'll see what goes on here. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll go to Mike in Buffalo. Mike, how you doing? What you got for us?
How's it going, guys? I just want to talk about the state of the Sabres and where we're at with the roster because of all the injuries.
Yeah.
I was insanely positive coming into this year. I actually loved the Paterka trade. I loved the Doan player. I loved Kesserling. I thought that would added, you know, just changed the culture of our locker room.
Right.
But with all these injuries and Norris getting hurt, and I'm seeing the lineup that's going out for tonight, and I just don't understand why we have Kozak. He was the sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick from Winnipeg. Like, why is this kid in the lineup after we've drafted centers over the last, I think, 5 years in the first round? Like, this Norris injury could have been a blessing in disguise. It could have been an opportunity to, like, see Ostlund or Rosen or Hellenius. Put them in the top six and see what you got in them. But instead, we continue to sit them in Rochester. I just don't understand the development of this team. Like, we're going to I just think the game has passed Lindy by completely. I love the guy, big Sabres fan forever. Sad when he got fired, but we're trotting out Gearston and Danforth. Like, we know what they are. We know what they're going to do. They're bottom six guys. Why don't we see what we got in the pool of prospects? I don't want to be negative because it's only game one, but if we keep trotting this roster out there, we're going to get, you know, 15, 20 games in. We're going to be 5-10, and then Kevin Adams is going to get up to a podium, and he's going to have all the excuses in the world. We were really banged up. We're battling through this. I can already see it now. And then he's just going to have the job again because he's going to go to Pegula and say, the team was hurt. I need another chance.
Mike, you're absolutely right on a couple of things there. Thanks for the call. The preseason that Constantine Hellenius and Noah Osland had, they should be the first call-ups and not Josh Dunn. Nothing against Josh Dunn. Kozak being here is fine. Like, he seems like he's a good bottom six fit for the team. Honestly, I do like him there as a bottom six center. He has the skill set for it. He responds well. It seems like he's ready for that. But yeah, Mike's absolutely right here. And a lot of people saying it. If Norris is out long-term, what do you have in Constantine Hellenius? Who looked good in the preseason.
He did.
Who do you have in Noel Osland? Who looked good in the preseason?
See, my issue with the look good in the preseason part, though, is that was primarily against AHL, you know?
Not entirely.
Not entirely, but for the most part. That's where I struggle with.
Osland had 2 points against an NHL-ready Red Wings squad,
mm-hmm.
a game that I hosted the pregame and postgame for.
Yeah.
While playing with Roseanne and Wahlberg, the line he would typically play with in Rochester. Osland has a couple points in that game. And that was an AHL-ready squad for the Sabres playing against the Red Wings NHLers. That's a tough test. He played well. Hellenius played very well all throughout the preseason, so much so that he was getting more games.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
They were getting extended looks.
Yeah.
That tells me these players should be in the lineup if these sorts of injuries happen to your top six. Because, yeah, I don't think that I would want Constantine Hellenius or Noah Osland on my fourth line. I would like them with my skill players. So if this is what's happening, obviously, this game, they've already traveled to Boston. It is what it is. I'm not expecting them to fly somebody out now at this point. But if Norris is out long-term, can we see what they have in terms of their prospect pool and players that are supposed to have this high promise? Because if you're not going to trade them for other assets,
right,
they better be able to play.
That's the big thing, especially when the organization's in this state. You're 14 going on 15. You need to show that you're there to win. You need to show that you're going to let these young guys get up there and do what they have to do and see if they can cut it and help you win. Don't just let them rot. Rotting, really playing in the AHL. But, like, utilize them. Don't let them just sit aside while your season goes to crap again.
It's depreciating assets, yes, though, as well as what's going to end up happening with those players. And you cannot have that as an organization. So we'll see what happens there. We'll make a switch, though. Talking football coming up next here. Sal Capaccio joining us after Bills practice concludes. Derek Kramer, Joe Cali here with you as Sports Talk Saturday rolls on here. Hope you're staying dry. It looks like it's clearing up now outside. Enjoy the day and enjoy the weekend the best you can here on WGR. Welcome back in Sports Talk Saturday, hour number two, humming along here on a lovely Saturday. Way to offer nothing there.
Yeah, I just stared you in the eyes. Yes, humming right along here.
Humming right along here.
On a dreary Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
Versus like fall-ish Saturday, I would say.
No.
It was 80 degrees when we did the show last week.
Yes, but also Tuesday throughout the rest of the week was great.
Yeah, I'm
that
just
was
saying,
fall. That was fall.
Fall-ish Saturday. First, yes. Saturday of fall, technically.
Well, let's see what Sal Capaccio's got to say about your fall analysis there, Joe. Sal Capaccio joining us here on the Western Hotline as the Bills just finished up practice. Sal, right off the rip, we had heard from Sean McDermott that Matt Milano is out, TJ Sanders and Damar Hamlin also out and expected to go on injured reserve.
Yeah, that's right, guys. I don't know the fall analysis, but I'll tell you, it does feel feels like a fall. You know, feels like a fall football Saturday. That's what, yep, it is, right?
Yeah, that's,
you know, it's a little wet. You smell that wet grass, right?
Yeah,
you
know, it's not 80 degrees for the first time in October. You know, on a Saturday.
Right.
So
I wouldn't mind if it was 80 degrees.
I wouldn't,
so you know, but you know. So yeah, I mean, it's a little chilly compared to what it's been, but it's not bad out here at all. And the Bills are actually practicing in the field house today. They are still on the practice field right now, but the media portion is over. They'll be done here in a little while, but we were able to get in there and look and see Dalton Kincaid wearing a red non-contact jersey. I'll get to the guys you said, but just to also add in, Sean McDermott said they'll see what Dalton Kincaid and Curtis Samuel can do today before making a determination on either their status for the game on Monday night. Dalton Kincaid dealing with an oblique, Curtis Samuel dealing with ribs and neck, I believe it was, and we'll see on that. Okay, so, yeah, Matt Milano is out. We knew that would happen. He was called week to week anyway last week, and no surprise. I think the only question on Milano really this week was, would he go on injured reserve? It does not appear that's the case. He has not, and Sean McDermott indicated they didn't think he'd have to go on injured reserve. So you could still kind of, you could play him in a couple of weeks when you get back from the bye if he's healthy enough and they choose. That is not the case with TJ Sanders and DeMar Hamlin. Both will be going on injured reserve. So that means both players will be out a minimum of four games. McDermott said Sanders will have knee surgery, but it doesn't have to be season ending. So it sounds to me like something, he'll have a procedure. They'll see where it goes. Could be a little different for DeMar Hamlin, pectoral injury. He didn't sound as optimistic on that, but we'll see again about that. All right, so let's just lay this out for everybody, all right, so everybody understands. TJ Sanders goes on injury reserve. DeMar Hamlin goes on injury reserve. That gives you 51 players on the roster. The Bills have two players coming off suspension after this week. That's Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. Essentially, guys, that's your two replacements. If you don't have guys go on IR, you have to waive somebody. You could do that. You don't want guys to get hurt, obviously. But this just makes it a smoother transition number-wise to get those guys on, and it's two defenders for two defenders. Different positions, of course, one and one in defensive tackle there, Ogunjobi and Sanders. But, you know, at safety, you still have Jordan Hancock, who's been inactive, and you have Jordan Poyer still, obviously, on the practice squad. So numbers-wise, you know, it all washes and comes out the same.
It does, Sal, and I guess that, like you said, you don't want to see anyone getting injured, but if there's a way to find some sort of ease of transition to it, it is the fact that those two suspended players are going to be coming into the roster right on time, I guess, so to say.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence Data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
For the weeks coming. But also, at Oliver, Sal, it does look like he's trending toward getting it back into the lineup for the first time since a dominant performance against Baltimore in week one.
Yeah, it's a good point, too, because right now in the interim, while you don't have Ogunjobi for another week because he doesn't come off suspension until after this game, Ed Oliver returns to the lineup, it appears. It's not official yet, but Ed Oliver, it appears, is going to return. Sean McDermott, the way he was talking today, I asked him how Ed Oliver got through the week. He said good. He says he's excited to play and knock that rust off. He hasn't played in a while, so that's good news. That's encouraging news on Ed Oliver. So Ed Oliver has been on the roster but inactive the last few weeks. Now you basically put TJ Sanders on IR. you're going to have four defensive tackles anyway, because they had five right now that were playing. So you're going to have four, and you could, you have four and they were elevating guys, and you could still do that. You could still elevate guys. Venerian Mathis was elevated last week. Zion Logue's already out of his three. Jordan Phillips, you still have another one, I think, left for him, maybe two, but either way, you still have options there for this week. But you roll into this week and you still have then, of course, you have Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, you have Deion Walker, and who am I missing there on the defensive tackle and defensive line there? They would have four, and then they could elevate somebody. So there you go. So you'll still have a rotation of four. And then Ogunjobi comes back next week to give you four on the actual roster.
And then you don't have to keep using the call-ups there as they have been with Logue, Mathis, Phillips. It would allow for a little bit of stability as well. The timing with Oliver hopefully coming back, trending in the right direction.
Yes.
Sal, finally, the last thing on injuries here with this team, Max Harrison still has yet to be able to have his practice window opened by the team, announced at least. Same with Tyler Bass. It does look like things are, I don't want to say like getting a little haunted on the injury report, but at the same time, the Bills are fighting through it right now and still at least, they're still at least 4-1, to show for it.
Yeah, I mean, but you're right. I mean, there's injuries and you never want to see that. And they're starting to kind of pile up. I looked at this last night, guys. Look around the league, right? I tell the people this all the time. I mean, the Bills are not unique. And in fact, you guys want to guess how many people are on the, guess how many players are on the Cowboys injury report?
I'm going to go without any prior knowledge here and say 12.
I was going to go like 15.
21.
Oh, my gosh.
Flip my numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
21 players are on the Cowboys injury report. I believe 20 or 18 are on the Ravens injury report.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the 21 on the Cowboys, I counted 10 have already been declared either out or questionable. 10 for the game this week. Like, again, I say this all the time. You can't just look at the Bills as some one team, one off in the league. This is a part of a league where this is normal stuff. Yes, they go through some injuries, or maybe they have a little more than other teams or less than other teams. And you can go through that and with a fine-tooth comb. The Bills are not unique. Every team deals with injuries. Every team has guys on IR. Every team has guys being questionable or limited throughout the week. You know, I mean, 21 players on one team, 20 players on another team. There are teams that have three or four, you know, because that's just, I would say the Bills seem to be kind of average maybe at this point. I haven't done the exact numbers. But, you know, it's the quality, too. It's the different players. It's starters. It's guys that are going to help you, you know, what you're going to do. You know, if you lose Dalton Kincaid this week, if he can't play for some reason, that's a big blow. And obviously that's something you want to make sure, you know, he's healthy enough to play. And the Bills are playing the long game, too. Let's remember that, right? They're trying to stay as healthy as they can all season to get this thing home to the one seed and be home for the playoffs and get a week off. But I don't know. I just, anytime I tweet out an injury report, anytime people see and hear Sean McDermott talk about injuries, it is just this massive overreaction of how this team is the most injured, always injured. They're not. They're basically a regular NFL team.
Yeah, I'm watching the Baltimore Ravens have their season get ruined by injury. And like last year, the 49ers were ruined by injury, and they're fighting through it again. So, yeah, no, like the Bills are not as bad as people say there.
I think 15 or more on the Niners as well.
Yeah, San Fran's going through it again.
I was going through it last night. Yep.
But, Sal, last thing here, injury-wise, you mentioned Dalton Kincaid in a non-contact in front of the media today. I'm curious what's going to happen because I spoke with you just a couple days ago about how Kincaid has been thriving, and maybe I'm hoping to see a little bit more of a snap share for him, and there might be a possibility that he's out now for Monday night, and what the Bills will do, luckily, they do have a solid tight end room.
Yeah, they do, and like I said, I understand that Dalton Kincaid like isn't on the field as much as people want because he's playing so well, but I think that's part of the reason he's playing well. It's efficiency. You know, you don't need him on the field for 80% of the snaps. He's getting a target share. He's getting a good target share for the amount he's on the field. The Bills are very good in 13 personnel. The more he's on the field, you know, the less other people are on the field sometimes as well. It's just kind of a balance. So I get it. And yeah, and we'll see. I mean, we'll see if he's listed. Probably listed as questionable today, but you know, we'll see where it goes. We won't know until Monday night. And by the way it works, because it's normally on a Sunday, we get elevations on a Saturday, and we won't get that until Monday this week because it's a Monday night game, so we won't even know if they're elevating anybody and won't be able to tell anything about that. So, yeah, I mean, this is a game you'd love to have Dalton Kincaid. You'd love to have him every week, and hopefully he's okay and he can play. But I'm not eager to see Dalton Kincaid on the field all the time. I think this is a guy that, you know, he had some injuries last year. He's very efficient right now, and I think it's the way they're using their tight ends I like right now. And you have three tight ends. And you're right. If you don't have Dalton Kincaid, though, you don't have that pass-catching tight end, that's for sure. But Dawson Knox has done some nice things. And, of course, Jaxon Hawes can block. By the way, I didn't mean to skip over your Max Harrison question. You did ask me about Max Harrison.
No worries. Yep.
He has not had his practice window open yet. You're right. Just to clarify on everybody on that, he already counts as one of the eight IR to return guys because him and Tylon Grable were placed on IR on cutdown day to save a roster spot. And because of that, with the rule, they had to count them already on that. But once we get back from the bye, I wonder then if that's when they say, okay, we're going to open his practice window. If they had done it this week, think about it this way, guys. If they'd done it this week, he would have practiced for, what, 3 days? And then there's no practice next week. So you're not even getting practice when it's counting towards his 21 days. And I don't think that's the situation they wanted because they want to see him on the field getting those reps.
Sal, looking ahead now to the Atlanta game on Monday night. First game of the doubleheader, we get the early window, which is nice, 7:15 start. Michael Penix Jr., Bijan Robinson, they've had their moments this season. The Bills' defense against the run, I guess, is kind of where my concern lies. Should people be worried about Bijan Robinson, or would the Bills, you think, be able to make do with what they have there?
Well, I think you should definitely be worried because he's a fantastic player, and the Bills have not been able to stop the run the way that you want. But to me, more than anything, it's tackling, guys. They just have to tackle. That's been the biggest issue against the run this year to me has been tackling. It's not scheme. That can happen sometimes. It's not guys getting beat one-on-one. That can happen sometimes. I just think they're in position a lot of times. They don't make the tackle. You got to tackle Bijan Robinson. You got to tackle Kyle Pitts when he has the ball, Drake London when he has the ball. The Bills have not tackled very well. I do think Ed Oliver will help, obviously, in the interior to have him right there. That'll allow the Bills that, you know, you might have to, you can't necessarily double team other guys because Ed Oliver's there, and now you have to kind of account for everybody there. But yeah, for sure. I mean, he can wreck your game plan. He's a fantastic player, Bijan Robinson, and they're going to want to get in the ball. I think this is a game where both teams are going to want to feed their main running back a lot. Bijan Robinson for the Falcons and James Cook for the Bills. The Falcons' run defense also has not been great this year. It's better than the Bills numbers-wise, but their pass defense is really, really good, and they love to blitz. They love to rush the passer. And when that happens, you can create seams and you could have some open holes. And I think the Bills would love to do that.
Sal, also just more on I'm a fan of Michael Penix Jr. I had an assignment in college to do a Heisman campaign and he was the athlete I chose. Right. So I was not expecting him to get drafted. I don't think anybody was by the Falcons at that point. But what do you make of him? I feel like he's kind of had not an up and down. You see the flashes that of what he could become. And he's had a full offseason now as like the starter. What do you make of Michael Penix Jr.?
That is a great assignment. I love that. It's love that you were able to do that and that you got that. I didn't have that assignment, but I remember writing a editorial, like a letter to the editor, like the Buffalo News, when I was just into college, and it was the same year Marshall Faulk won the Heisman, and I wanted him to win it. And there was a guy from Miami. The quarterback name was Gino Toretta. I don't know if you guys ever heard the name. Yep. And he was like being hyped up. And I wrote an article, and they published it in a letter to the editor, and I called it "Forget a Toretta." And I remember that. So there you go. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, Faulk won it. So I love it. So great, good for you. Anyway, Michael Penix is he reminds me a lot of Tua, actually. He's a bigger Tua. And it's because he's left-handed partly, right? Because they are both left-handed. I get it. But he's a pocket passer. He's not this super mobile quarterback. The Bills have been hurt by mobile quarterbacks. I mean, Tua actually did get out of the pocket on them a couple of times. But this is a guy that's going to stand in the pocket. He's a precision passer. He wants to rely on ball placement. He wants to throw the ball and, you know, guys in the right spots. And the Bills just have to, you know, the old saying, get him off his spot. The Bills can get him off his spot, make him move a little uncomfortable. And I think that's why Ed Oliver is really important in this game. Because if you can get some interior pressure and he has to move left or right, I think that's a big win for the Bills right away to start the down, and then you see where it goes.
Sal Capaccio here, Bills and Falcons, 7:15 on Monday night. Sal, I know that working these games, I'm going to love the fact that it's an hour earlier than the usual primetime slot. I'd imagine you're going to feel the same way there, and I hope everything goes smoothly for you in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is usually you get a road game at night, you get home really, really late. It'll still be really late, just an hour earlier than you normally would, so that'll be nice. It'll still be like 2 o'clock in the morning probably instead of 3 or 4. But that'll happen. Yeah, I mean, you know, one, I've been to the stadium. The Bills played the second ever regular season game ever at this stadium back in 2017. The Falcons opened it, I believe, on Sunday Night Football that year against the Packers, and then the Bills came to town the next week or week after, or whatever it was, maybe week three, and beat the Falcons in a really kind of an upset, a big upset, actually. Tre'Davious White had a fumble return for a touchdown and the controversial ball that came out of Matt Ryan's hands. Micah Hyde had two interceptions in that game. That was a game where you're like, okay, maybe this team could be okay. And then they wound up breaking the drought. And by the way, so everybody knows, whether you're going to the game or watching on TV or whatever, maybe you're going to Atlanta, it is retractable and it will be open. The roof will be open for this game in Atlanta.
All the more reason for fall season being elite, Sal. You get that open roof in October there in Atlanta, and it's going to be a fun sight to see. We'll let you get going so that you can get ready for that trip, and we'll be ready to hear from you plenty on Monday.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
That's Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. Again, Bills, Falcons, 7:15 on Monday Night Football.
In their AFL throwbacks as well.
The uniform matchup's going to be so good.
And the Falcons in their throwbacks, too, with the red helmets. This
Remember
is
what
good
we
stuff.
Were given last week by the Seahawks and the Buccaneers?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm not going to handle 38-35. Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to be something.
Or am I? Yeah. I'm going to love every second of it. Why that Bills-Ravens game became cinema.
It did. It did. That's why up until that field goal was made, I thought the Bills were winning the game against the Patriots, because anything's possible.
That Bucks-Seahawks game is the peak definition of look good, feel good, play good, by the way.
Yeah. No, 100%.
And that's all I've got to say about that. I'm not going to rip on the rivalries jerseys. 803-0550, the number to call. We got plenty of time for all of you. If you're still frustrated about the Sabres, they played a night against Boston, trying to avoid an 0-2 start on their season. The Bills playing on Monday night against Atlanta. We've got a couple of injury notes here, and we'll probably continue to get more along the way. We're here till 2 o'clock. Thanks for joining us here on another Saturday here on WGR. Wrapping up hour number two here on Sports Talk Saturday. Let's get back to fixing the clock. What do you say?
Little springy on the microphone here, just flew out of my hand, but I'm all for fixing the clock.
I wish we had the cameras for that.
I do too.
I wish we had the cameras.
Got away from me. Got away from me. Just like the career of Russell Wilson's getting away from him as I'm watching all these Giants highlights and him running up to the teammates, patting him on the back on the silent. You see this?
Yep.
He's doing anything he can to get that paycheck from the Giants still.
Hey, man, you got to do your part on the 53, okay?
But you know what?
No matter what it is.
Zach Taylor. Guys, we have a quarterback situation. We have a fiasco right now. The offensive line's a mess. Who's the guy we're going to call? Joe Flacco. That's going to fix everything in Cincinnati, is it not?
A 41-year-old not-so-mobile quarterback, even in his best days.
And on an AFC North tour.
But also on, but also behind one of the worst offensive lines in football.
So I'm saying, I don't think Jake Browning's the issue. I think it's your offensive line. I mean, kind of. Don't get me wrong. Browning's not great. He has no protection.
He's got no protection. That said, he put up two absolute meatballs that I saw the minute they left his hand. That was like, oh, that's a pick.
Would you have gone for a different quarterback if you were them? I think this is Zach Taylor's final season. I think they move on from him. I would have gone for maybe Russell Wilson, Kirk O'Chains.
No, the way Wilson played, he played himself out of being any sort of starter in the NFL again.
Such a shame that kids nowadays will never know how good he was.
I know.
That is also very true.
I know.
But
he played himself out of the Hall of Fame, I think, too.
The only other player that I really would have argued for, they couldn't afford Cousins.
No, his cap hit's insane.
His cap hit's insane, and the Bengals are ponying up for a quarterback and two wide receivers.
Well, they wouldn't even pay Trey Hendrickson, and he's like the only thing giving them any chance on defense
but also,
right now.
At this point, they can't.
Yeah.
And the other part of this is, the other player I would look at is maybe Jameis Winston.
Famous Jameis.
But Winston is kind of the same, like, Flacco has been two this year, so I don't know if I'm really agreeing on this, but like Zach Jones and I, we talked about this, and his biggest pushback on Winston is you can't sell another quarterback that throws a bunch of interceptions to me as a Bengals fan base. And I was like, yeah you're right. But
at least he'd be more fun to watch.
But Flacco's been bad too. That's the other part of it. So it's turning into a terrible situation for Cincinnati. But we'll talk more about that when we go around the league coming up next year on Sports Talk Saturday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.